still figured out a way to make it a long time.
I had a good story for Dave, too.
Jerry, lean the other way.
The future prey.
My son used to call himself
Alrighty. Good morning. This is Julie Fedorchak with the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We are gathered on the 12th floor of the state capitol. It is Wednesday, December 14th at about 10 o'clock. And we're gathered for the regularly scheduled commission meeting, which I will now call to order. Okay, well, we have a number of items on the agenda, but just in terms of opening comments, I've been looking at the Trump administration appointments and going through those and just making note what a significant change is in store for North Dakota as it in regards to the state's relationship to the federal agencies that we interact with a lot. In particular, the agencies that regulate energy and agriculture, although I don't know that ag policy fluctuates as much with the president, but certainly the energy policy is going to be a lot different with the new administration. We've got President-elect Trump actively campaigning on energy development, on a real all-of-the-above energy strategy that includes a future for coal, and still to this day traveling to coal states and talking to miners and talking about how he feels there's a future for clean coal, and his administration is going to be about that. And then when you look at the folks he's appointing as well, when you look at the person that he's capped for EPA, who is very a lot of these people are come into the agencies with a suspicion about the work that the agencies have typically done, which is, you know, getting a fair amount of criticism. But I think if you're a reformer and you want to reform government, you can't appoint people to agencies that are going to just do it the way it's always been done. So I think he's being really true to his promises to the people, to the edict that he feels he's received from folks, and he's appointed some folks already who are going to come to the job with a much different philosophy than those who had it before them, in especially in relation to the energy division and EPA, most certainly, and Secretary of State as well. So I think that it's going to be interesting to see how this all unfolds and how those people are able to actually initiate some reforms in those agencies. It's a big bureaucracy, and it doesn't move quickly, and folks are pretty entrenched, I think, even with the most strident reformer, they're up against a big battle to try to make some significant changes. So, but I am especially interested to see in terms of the big issues that North Dakota has dealt with, the Clean Power Plan, the stream protection, rules. Those are two big ones for our energy sectors that were burdensome and complicated, and it was difficult to see what they were going to do and improve in terms of accomplishing something real that would help either improve the environment or the air quality. And so I think that it's a check on those two new rulemakings. And then also the permitting of federal lands. Significant challenges there for our coal industry, especially we've seen, and hopefully this will mark a different course in the approach for permitting of the federal lands that has really gotten tangled up and been very problematic for our coal industry. And also on the Dakota Access, that's a permitting issue as well. And we've seen how the federal government's involvement in that has caused a lot of challenges and problems in North Dakota. And so I'm looking forward to this new administration and cautiously optimistic that we're going to get a more responsive federal government as a result of it, one that is more in line with what North Dakotans believe should be the future for our country and the vision and opportunities we see. So excited about that. So with that off my chest, I'll pass it over to Commissioner Christman if he has any opening comments.
I do, and in that realm, I would just say, you know, you mentioned a future for industries like coal, and whatever that future is, it is, I agree with you, exciting to hear it talked about now in a frame of reference of doing things that keep people working in that industry, as opposed to arguing about what amount and what length of time the welfare program is going to be once we regulate them out of the industry. And so it's just such a completely different perspective on what's good for blue collar, everyday working Americans, and I'm excited about it. I was going to go a slightly different direction, though, in opening comments, and just comment briefly on Burgum appointments. And been a number of announcements that have come out, some retirements of some good folks, and actually some of those cabinet and higher level governor appointee type positions. Now in this role at the PSC, the last 4 years, some of those folks I barely even know that came on after my time in the Senate. But some of them, even though we don't work with them directly in this agency and whatever it is they do, some of them I work closely with in that regard. And I'm not going to start naming names at the risk of excluding somebody, but there are a few of those that I really admired and enjoyed working with in my time in the legislature. And they're outstanding people, and I'm glad that Mr. Burgum has, Governor-elect Burgum has decided to keep them on at least for a time here and help with the transition, and I think he's making some good decisions down there.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Christman. Commissioner Culk?
I'd be very brief. The one comment about... Oh, go ahead, Randy.
And if I could just add, we're a little short of press, but more than made up for, my wife Bethany has come to visit us today, even on a cold day, so I'm not sure if she's here a day early for employee recognition, or just here to ask some tough questions during the questions period, or just what's going to happen here, but welcome.
Glad to have your better half here.
I didn't know she had to come pick you up because you couldn't start your truck again like the other day. So. Yeah, I just have a couple brief comments. The first on Governor Burgum, I did send him a note after his recently got married. And I scolded him that I appreciate him getting married, but I would have preferred to go to a wedding dance in Arthur, so can't lose sight of that.
I know.
So it'll be exciting to have a new governor and first lady. My public service announcement for the day is it's cold outside. I don't know if you've noticed that at all, but I am a little bit concerned the customers are going to get their December bill, and they're going to be very upset. And the first thing they'll do is they'll call the PSC and say, what the heck did you do to the rates? Well, the rates don't change. It's how much usage they have. So encourage customers to consider balanced billing all throughout the year, especially this year. And I think that we're going to – so Stacy and I have talked about this a little bit, but that, you know, there will be increased electricity as well as natural gas. So prep for that.
That's turn my the public thermostat down.
Well, I don't say that. I just be prepared for paying the bill. I think if you want to be warm in your house, then go for it. But our bill always spikes up this time of year for Christmas lights and nice heat. So
mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, very good. Well, we have a couple of items on the consent agenda, and I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell.
Madam Chair, I have one request for you, if you could, mm-hmm. to move item JF2 to the very last agenda item for us today instead of...
We are thinking on the same lines.
All right.
I agree. Thank you.
I need more time to deliberate on that vote. I'm not sure where I'm going.
We'll move JF2 to the last item on our agenda. JF1, we are also going to change. We're going to hold that over until probably our special meeting next week. We're waiting on a couple items yet from that applicant and want to make sure that we have those before we move to the next step of scheduling a hearing. So I would ask that JF1 be held over until our next meeting. So that puts us down to JF3. I move that commission portfolios be allocated as follows effective January 1st, 2017. Commissioner Christman would be in charge of business operations, which includes IT, budget, human resources, and legal, coal mining and reclamation, abandoned mine lands, grain licensing, auctioneers and clerks, and telecommunications. Commissioner Kalk would be in charge of gas and electric economic regulation, energy conversion siting, pipeline safety and damage prevention, and weights and measures. And Commissioner Fedorchak, myself, would be in charge of transmission pipeline siting, railroads, consumer affairs, and electric transmission siting.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I know that the weights and measures folks are really looking forward to a new portfolio holder. I just wanted to put that out there.
This seems to be a newfound bounce in their step.
I noticed the same thing about the electric transmission people, too. I've gotten a lot of calls following this move.
but a big part of the glee around here seems to be in the special ops people.
IT and admin. And
yeah.
I actually thought I saw them crying.
Business ops, but special ops too.
I saw Steve Call leaving your office in tears. So I don't know what that means, but
tears of joy.
I won't read anything into it.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Daryl. That concludes... my portfolio so far, and I will pass it over to Randy.
Okay, RC1, I move the commission adopt an order to affirm notice of violation 1601 issued to Coyote Creek Mining Company, LLC, at the Coyote Creek Mine, and acknowledge cancellation of the informal conference that was scheduled in the matter and close the case.
Second.
NOV 1601 was issued to Coyote Creek Mining Company on July 21st for sediment deposition on undisturbed off-permit lands. On August 22nd, Coyote Creek submitted a request that the NOV be vacated and that an informal conference be held. This action required the commission to assess a proposed penalty and schedule that informal conference. The commission proposed a civil penalty of $2,500, which was based on an amount of $3,000 for seriousness and a $500 deduction for good faith efforts. On September 7th, we proposed that and scheduled an informal conference for November 3rd. Coyote Creek paid the proposed penalty of $2,500 on October 7th and withdrew its request for that informal conference on October 13th. The NOV was terminated on November 30th, and since Coyote Creek has completed the measures specified within the prescribed time, the Reclamation Division recommends the Commission adopt this final order that affirms that NOV and $2,500 penalty and order. This order also acknowledges that the informal conference that was scheduled for November 3rd was canceled, and it closes the case.
Do we have any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, and RC2, I move the commission adopt the order on interconnection agreement in Griggs County Telephone Company, Mid-Continent Communications, interconnection agreement application, case number PU-16-686.
Second.
Griggs County Telephone Company entered into an interconnection agreement with Mid-Continent Communications under the Telecommunications Act of 1996. The agreement sets forth terms and conditions under which Griggs will provide network interconnection services for the exchange of local traffic, number portability, and ancillary services to Mid-Continent in the Cooperstown Exchange. The agreement was filed with the commission on November 2nd. Under federal law, the commission may only reject an agreement adopted by negotiation if it finds one of two things. One, that the agreement discriminates against a telecommunications carrier that was not a party to the agreement, or that implementation of the agreement is not consistent with the public interest, convenience, and necessity. On November 8th, the PSC issued a notice of opportunity for comment, providing until yesterday, December 13th, to receive written comments. None were received. Staff has reviewed the agreement and finds that it is not shown to discriminate against a carrier that was not a party to the agreement, and further finds that the implementation of the agreement has not been shown to be inconsistent with the public interest, convenience, and necessity.
Is there any other discussion?
Bottom line, maybe I should add, this will give the people of Cooperstown one additional carrier option.
Any further discussion? Since you're none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
Thank you, Randy. All right, Brian.
All righty, then. I have, I think, six today. Item BK1. I move the commission issue a notice opportunity for hearing in Meadowlark Wind 1 LLC, New Frontier Wind Energy Project, McHenry County, setting application case number PU11-69.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. In April of 2012, the commission issued a certificate of site compatibility number 29 to Meadowlark Wind, designating a site in McHenry County, North Dakota, for a proposed 102-megawatt New Frontier Wind Energy Center proposing of up to 63 turbines. In November of this year, Meadowlark filed a certificate of continuing suitability. They hope to build something in the next 2017 through 2020. Quite honestly, that's what I heard at the hearing we did back in 2011 and 12 timeframe. But what this does today is it sets anyone requesting a hearing or has comments must be received by the commission by January 31st of 2017. And I've already talked with Jerry Lane, and I'm sure he's passed along to the company that we'll for sure have an informal on this thing. I was part of the commission at the time we had the hearing. I believe it was up in Velva for the initial wind farm. And so they'll come back in front of us. And, you know, it's a different time now in wind siting. So I'd envision we'll ask more questions about some of their studies being current, about their decommissioning plans. So certainly pass that on to the company. And if one of my colleagues would want a hearing, we can certainly set one up. But I just wanted to make sure we noticed for anyone else today.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I would just add, I would think this is probably significant changes from that original application, which I have never reviewed, to what they would be proposing at this point. This appears to be maybe 1.5 or 1.6 megawatt turbines, and I don't think anybody's been using turbines of that size for some time, so I'm guessing there's going to be probably some pretty significant changes in that plan. But
well, that's what the big thing now is our certificate is expiring the 4 years. So, but you're absolutely correct, Commissioner. So, if you'd want it, you or Commissioner Fedorchak wants something different, we can. Otherwise, I was just planning on an informal, but we can wait and see, I guess.
Is there any other discussion?
Just to clarify that, they wouldn't be able to use to change this project with this certificate to make it more than 102 megawatts or to use more than 63 turbines, but they could use fewer and larger, I would assume, under the specifics of our permit.
But I would presume the larger might be taller, that might involve different landowners.
Right.
I would expect there's going to be some potential changes here. So.
Yep.
Is there any further discussion? Since you're none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right. Thank you, Daryl. Item BK2, I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission Central Specialties, Inc., Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU15799.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. In November of this year, the Public Service Commission advocacy staff filed a consent agreement with Central Specialties, Inc. A little background on this case. Central Specialties is a corporation with offices located in Alexandria, Minnesota. They're registered to do business in North Dakota. The complaint was filed by WBI Energy, a corporation, of course, authorized to do business in North Dakota, a major pipeline. Some of the facts around the case, in December of last year, the commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint from WBI alleging a violation by Central of North Dakota that they did not properly follow the North Dakota one-call system. They had called initially for a ticket, but the 21 days of the original locate had expired, and the company was digging after that period. During digging, road construction of Highway 85, approximately 5 miles south of Williston, a Caterpillar D8 bulldozer damaged WBI's 12-inch natural gas transmission line. So it's a major transmission line was damaged. WBI's cost of that damage was $41,261. So the The company Central has agreed and paid that damages to WBI, but when our staff went through the investigation, they certainly had enough evidence to conclude that there was some wrongdoing there. The consent agreement evolved, and basically what the consent agreement agrees to is that under the consent agreement, there will be a civil penalty assessed to Central of $15,000, of which $10,000 will be paid within 10 days of this order, and $5,000 will be suspended as long as they don't have any future violations. So in this particular case, luckily no one was injured. Services was out for a few hours. But, you know, a caterpillar hitting a 12-inch natural gas line could have ended up a lot of bad ways. So I certainly appreciate WBI, the way they let everyone know on this. I appreciate Central, quite honestly, accepting responsibility and making it right with the company, as well as agreeing for this consent order. So everything appears to be in order, and thank our staff for moving this through in an efficient manner.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
This is one of the higher fines we've probably levied.
It is.
So I think it's noteworthy from that standpoint, and I also appreciate the fact that it came through a consent agreement, not through a hearing process where the company actually recognized that they had some fault here. And hopefully, I mean, that gives me more comfort that they're making the changes needed to not repeat this and to, you know, train their staff and make sure that they're operating under the law. And I like this approach that we've taken to the higher fine with a portion of it, not all of it. It's still a substantial fine. You know, held at bay and given them 5 years to prove that they can do things right. And I think that's a good incentive to bring them into compliance and also show that we're serious about making sure that people are doing it right. So I think this is a good approach.
Yeah, you point out that maybe it wasn't the largest fine, but the cost of the company was over $50,000. Mm-hmm. So they paid the $41,000 in damages. They'll pay $10,000. So I think that's probably the largest outlay of money I've seen a company had to do as a result of one of these violations.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Item BK3, I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Northern State Power Company's customer credit DOE settlement 2014-16 application case number PU1619.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. What this does today is it sets forward that anyone requesting a hearing in this case has till January 30th, 2017 to do so. And the issue is at play as part of the settlement between Department of Energy and a whole bunch of parties. NSP is receiving a refund of $1,013,000 as part of a breach of settlement Department of Energy did when they had collected millions of dollars from customers about the nuclear storage issue, and that issue is still not solved. So as part of a settlement starting several years ago, every year some of that money goes back to the companies and eventually works its way back to the customers. So what this does today is that anyone wanting a hearing has until January 30th to do so. But the $1 million, if you take out North Dakota's share of that, that'd be a customer credit of about $4.25 for the average customer using 1,000 kilowatts. So it's good. I mean, there's a lot of money that's at play. If you look at the amount of money just for this year that went back to an NSP, it was over $18 million. And you peel that back to North Dakota's share, that's where you come up with $1 million. But if you look at overall, since the beginning of this DOE settlement, North Dakota ratepayers have received back over $12 million. So it was NARUC, Greg White, actually, the Committee on Nuclear Matters, that spearheaded that. I did a little work on it, but hardly any compared to what Greg White did. But that's where I think our involvement in NARUC and other organizations just bears a lot of fruit, and this is a good case. And I look forward to, if someone wants a hearing otherwise, previously decided on these kind of issues, and I appreciate the company filing it and Sarah's good work on this.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
That was loud.
With emphasis.
We fall upstairs.
Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Item BK4, I move the commission adopt the order on transmission facility cost recovery rates, Otter Tail Power Company, transmission facility cost recovery 2017, rate case PU16624.
Second.
Thank you. Every year we have our investor owns file their transmission updates. And so in September of this year, Otter Tail filed their transmission cost recovery rider. September 21st, we issued notice of opportunity. We held an informal on this. And basically in this case, the average customer right now is paying about $6.80 a month for transmission. As a result of the true-up this year, there will actually be a decrease for Otter Tail's customer of $2.05 per month. So the previous order looks like we're going to refund some money back to XL customers. This order sees a decrease of transmission costs for Otter Tail customers of $2.05 a month. And that decrease was really based on a couple things. One was a bonus tax depreciation. Some of the federal tax code really helped out Otter Tail. They were able to help out with some of what their projections were. Another one is the SPP expenses that were lower than anticipated. And Vic and Jerry and I and others have been involved in a SPP Otter Tail dispute in front of FERC. And I really believe that our involvement in that really helped Otter Tail. I mean, they took the load on it, but it was North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota all weighed in with Otter Tail. And I think that really helped out in this case. So once again, it shows that I think we need to be engaged at all different levels. So everything appears to be in order, and this should go into effect. We'll vote on it today. I'm hoping it passes in the next billing cycle.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, motion approved.
Okay, BK5, I move the commission adopt the order on transmission facility cost recovery rates. Northern State Power Company's transmission facility cost recovery 2017, rates case number PU16658.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. This is the second of the transmission riders that was filed. I just make a note that MDU filed theirs as well, but they requested basically to hold off on a decision on that until after the rate case, so you won't see one on MDU today. But this one is with NSP, previous with Otter Tail. Very similar to the previous order, NSP filed this year for their updated rider. We issued notice of opportunity for hearing. We held the informal. In this particular case, so it's a little bit different. In this case, the average customer will see actually an increase of 66 cents per month. So their current billing is about $1.76. It will increase to $2.42. And there are several costs, a couple projects that are coming to play. There was the Prairie Substation up in the Grand Forks area, the new project that was added into it. Sarah and I went through the list of all the CapEx projects continue to be put more into service. Some are already in service. The construction continues on other projects. So that a lot of that was projected, but what wasn't projected was there was a FERC order that basically adjusted the return on investment for transmission owners and operators. And because of that, Otter Tail, or one more time, excuse me, Xcel Energy incurred additional costs that they were not planning on a year ago. So it actually caused them to have to pay more because they provide some of the transmission and they had over-earned in some of those areas. So there is an increase of 66 cents, but the biggest reason is, of course, additional projects, but also because of the FERC decision on how changing the return on equity. And so we were involved in that as well, but we were not quite as successful. But depending who you are, I think Otter Tail and MDU may have benefited a little bit from that ROE decision. Where maybe Otter Tail or Xcel didn't. But everything is certainly in order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, motion is approved.
And last but not least, I move the commission designate Commissioner Julie Fedorchak to represent the North Dakota PSC as official bison representative. Oh, that's not the right order. I withdraw that one. Okay, let me try it again. I move the commission.
Because it would never pass.
Oh, yeah. It might have. Oh, let me try it again. I move the commission.
This guy would have voted too.
I couldn't pass it up. I move the commission designate Commissioner Julie Fedorchak to represent the North Dakota PSC on the board of directors of the Organization of MISO States OMS.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. This is, Tony Clark had this position, Susan Weefold had this position, I had it, and now Julie has it to represent us in all the MISO OMS discussions. So thank you, Julie, for doing that, and I look forward to not going to those meetings. No, they're very important stuff, and I'm really glad that you're doing this. It really helped out, and there's a really good crew there, and I know they're looking forward to having you there.
Well, it'll be good to engage, and I think that Susan really
she organizes it. She started it.
And it's an important, it's our only voice in MISO, really, except for through the utilities, but that's a pretty diluted voice by the time we get an opportunity to speak up, and then it goes back, you know, through the chain. So this, as we saw, there's several things just on today's agenda relating to the costs of transmission, and it's an expensive and important part of the whole electric system. And so I'm excited to serve on that and think that it's important for us to rotate through there so we all kind of get that really granular understanding of that system.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio, Madam Chair.
Excellent. Well, then we will move on to the most important item on the agenda today, which is JF2. I move that Commissioner Christman serve as Chairman of the Public Service Commission for the next 2 years, effective January 1st of 2017.
Second.
Well, so today is an important milestone just for the commission's sake. It's the transferring of power, and I definitely put power in parentheses because really
peaceful transfer.
There is no power. It's just more responsibility. So we divided up. The chair takes on the responsibility for a lot of the staff, the operations, the budget, and personnel issues. And so it's fun, but it also comes with additional responsibility. This last couple of years has been challenging just because of all the staff changes that we've initiated and gone through as a result of the budget cuts. But it's also been rewarding, and I think most importantly, regardless of who's chair, it's a team effort, and it's great to serve with you both and work through all of the issues in a really open way. And we always have a lot of good, thorough discussions. Everybody gets to be honest, and we still get along. So I think that's a tribute to our flexibility. And so I did want to make today an official passing of the gavel.
We need to.
So here you go, Randy. You're welcome to have the whammer.
The whammer.
See how you like that?
Yes.
You might have to test it out. I don't know if it may not really fit Randy's style, though. So I thought maybe you'd prefer to have this gavel instead, which fits Randy's hand because Randy made it in shop class in high school. So thank you, Beth, for bringing this to our attention and to suggesting it today, because I think it's very appropriate. So here you go, Randy, as new chair. There's your
thank you.
gavel, and when you really need it, because you'll still be sitting by Calc, you can use the whammer too.
I may have some comments after the vote.
All right.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I have just a little bit of discussion. I won't add to what Julie said about Randy because I think it's spot on. I'll just thank you, Julie, for being the chair the last couple of years. As you pointed out, it is a tough job the last couple of years. You dealt with all the budget changes, the personnel changes, and I'll tell you, I really appreciate all the work you did. And you, not only that, you went through two election cycles, and so I just really appreciate your work. And Randy and I, if you can believe this, we actually got our act together.
What?
Not that there was a meeting, but
Julie,
discussion.
Thank you for your
great
work.
Thank you. Appreciate that. That's nice. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Randy. That's pretty impressive, actually. Two guys. Was there a woman involved at all in this?
Maybe.
Very, very impressed, Beth. Awesome. Thanks. That's really nice. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Oh, awesome.
Is there any further discussion?
Good choice, too. Nice taste.
It's got bling, they told me.
Oh, it's not very often I give flowers, so I'll have to call Mike and say, look it, I got flowers from men. Plural. Oh, fun.
Any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion carries.
Excellent.
So if I may, then, yet I will say this. While the whammer is fun and important around here, this is especially sentimental. I haven't seen this around much for a long time. I did actually make this in my first year of shop class when I was in high school, and it was my first lathe project, and that was my favorite thing to do as far as carpentry, and I'm not a good carpenter by any means because I don't have a lathe or I don't hardly have any other carpentry tools except for big hammers and things for working on corrals and fences, but I did enjoy it, and this was my first project, and we had it at the state fair and the county fair and things like that. I don't remember exactly how it did, but it's special to me, so thank you for thinking of that. I will say that being a part of this commission, both with you as chair, Chair Fedorchak, and also the first 2 years with you as chair, Brian, was a great experience for me, and I know that I'll probably not be able to operate this with the smoothness and efficiency that the two of you have demonstrated, but I will say that if I can even come close to matching the helpfulness and the decency that you two have demonstrated, I will feel that my time as chair will have been a success.
Thank you, Randy. I'm quite certain the parliamentary procedure will be much improved under your leadership. That we can be assured of.
Maybe the start time, maybe improved too.
We'll see about that. All right. So thank you and good luck. You will take over in January.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, that concludes our regular agenda. We can go ahead and open it up for any questions from the media. And thank you. One more thing. Thank you, Beth. Really, she deserves the credit for the sentimental touch with the gavel because that was her idea to bring that out and really fun way to showcase your other talents as well. Do we have any questions, Nick?
Yeah, I guess I was just wondering if I can just get a quick little recap again of that wind project and what that's going to be entailing again.
Sure. Let me refresh here. What it is basically in the 2012 timeframe, the commission would have been Kevin and I and Tony had a hearing up in Velva about the wind farm, and we issued a certificate, and basically that certificate is expired. It's good for 4 years. Where the heck did I put all my paperwork at? And so what we basically did is issued anybody wanting a formal hearing has until January 31st to do so. Otherwise, we'll hold an informal on it. So the background, I think, is really just that, is that they were issued the certificate. There we go, Metal Arc Wind, a certificate of up to 63 turbines and 102 megawatts. So what we need to do after the four-year period is either extend that for another four-year period or basically not. And we'll have to consider the same issues we did consider before. So all the environmental studies, things that the county approval, those kind of things. And also the environment of wind siting has changed since the commission approved that in 2012. Or I'm sure decommissioning plans will come up. So I think that's kind of the long and short of it there.
So basically you either have an informal or if the request for a formal hearing.
Right. If anyone wants a formal hearing, they must do so by January 31st. Otherwise, we'll schedule a formal hearing, I'm guessing probably in the February time frame, where they'll present their case to us right here in the commission room. The initial hearing we held, like I said, in Velva, there really was no – it was all supportive of it. They already have a small wind farm in the area, but I guess things have changed quite a bit in the last 4 years.
And you said that they had anticipated that it might be a few years at that time?
Well, when we held the initial hearing, I remember they were saying they're hoping to be in operation in the next couple of years. Well, it's been 4 years and they're still not in operation, so that'll be one of the questions that I'll ask.
And the extension of that would come either after the informal or formal, right?
I would say the vote probably come in the March, April time frame. That's just a swag.
Tentatively.
Yeah, it could be May or June, depending. If we go into the informal and their studies are inadequate, I mean, that time frame could surely slip a long ways.
So basically you're expecting them to come in and kind of restate their case, possibly some new information?
Correct. I'd say they should restate their case as well as bring in new concerns since we have a lot of changes in the last 4 years for wind farm. And there may be someone that requests a formal hearing on this. There's a lot more public awareness of wind farms now than there was 4 years ago. So if someone requests a formal hearing, all bets are off in the time frame, because then we'd notice for the formal hearing. The formal hearing probably wouldn't take till March or April, and after that you're looking another probably April. So if someone requests a hearing, it'll probably push it out a little bit, which that's fine, and it may end up being that anyway. We have the informal because we ask the same kind of questions.
Right, and all the information and the details of that would be in the file, right?
It would for the original case.
Okay.
Anything else?
I guess I was just curious when your first year of shop class in high school was. And where was that? What high school was that again?
Hayes in high school.
Just seeing if
you winter know. Of 74 and 75. So over 40 years old.
Pretty good shape for 40 years old.
It's well constructed. It's oak and clearly. Well built.
Did it have to be dusted off?
It did.
That's probably with a sandblaster.
Oh, that's fun. Okay, just looking ahead at some announcements, we have our employee recognition luncheon tomorrow. Looking forward to that. And the highlights of giving, you know, acknowledging the hard work of folks, who, some of whom have been here for 35 plus years. And of course, the highlight of the day, the food, closely followed by the ugly sweater contest. And then more on a more serious note, we have the legislative session starting after the new year, and we have our rate case with MDU, significant new rate case kicking off with public input sessions end of January. So I do... invite the media to inquire about those public input sessions and how the public can come, what they might be able to hear when they're when they do attend, what kind of information they might be able to offer. And I do want to just mention to Commissioner Kalk that I've talked a little bit with Alana about those sessions and have some thoughts for how we might make them more interactive and a little bit more informative to the public that shows up. And so I just maybe we'll set a date for talking about that after Christmas. And see, I know the commission has tried a number of different things to get people engaged in those input sessions, but again, on the it's really important that people understand this is a good chance for them to let us know if they're concerned or not. When nobody shows up, it's hard not to walk away thinking that the rate increase isn't a concern. And so I don't know that that's the case, though. I think that's just that people are busy, et cetera. So we'll keep working at trying to make some additional avenues for input and to make them more worthwhile. All righty. That kind of wraps up the comments or the calendar. Looking ahead, we will adjourn for 10 minutes. We can maybe reconvene at 5 to 11 if that works for everybody. Sure. Sign and then get back in order for the admin portion of the meeting. Thank you.